I never went back home. I called my mom the next morning to tell her that I was staying in Franklin. I had an elaborate lie cooked up, something about being hired as a paralegal and working on a big class-action lawsuit involving toxic waste, but she didn't really care. "What do you want me to do with your stuff?" was all she asked. I didn't really have stuff, nothing that I needed. There were some magazines that I'd stolen from the grocery store, this one t-shirt that I really liked, and a pair of basketball shoes that I'd saved up for 6 months to buy and wore only when I played pickup games at the YMCA. But Madison had said they'd buy me anything I wanted. "Just keep it there," I said. "Maybe I'll come get it later."
"You're with Madison?" she asked.
"Yeah, I'm staying with her," I told her.
"She's always been good to you for some reason," she said,
like she was dumbfounded by unnecessary kindness. "Well, you know, I did a good thing for her," I told her, heating up, ready for a fight.
"Ancient history," she said.
"I'm actually going to be a governess," I told her suddenly.
"Okay, then," she said,
and she hung up before I could explain what that was. Madison was downstairs in the breakfast nook, a smooth leather bench that curved all the way around the table. There was a huge bay window, and I could see squirrels hopping around the lawn, scavenging nuts. It took me a second to realize that Timothy was there, holding a sterling silver fork that fit perfectly in his little hand. I tried to remember how old he was. 3? 4? No, 3. He was beautiful, but it was a different kind of beauty than what Madison possessed. On Timothy, it was unnatural, cartoonish. His eyes were so large that they seemed to take up 75% of his face, like a collectible figurine in some old lady's house. He was wearing pajamas that were red and patterned with the insignia of the Tennessee state flag. "Hello," I said to him, but he kept staring at me. He didn't seem shy. He just couldn't figure out whether I was someone he should talk to.
"Say hi to Lillian,"
Madison finally said. She was eating cottage cheese topped with blueberries.
"Hello,"
Timothy said, but he immediately turned back to his scrambled eggs. He was done with me.
"Do you want coffee?"
Madison asked, like I was one of her children, like this wasn't the first time in years that we'd even seen each other. I was startled when some lady appeared right behind me, holding a pot of steaming coffee. She was Asian, very small, age indeterminate.
"This is Mary," Madison said.
"I can make anything you want," the woman said. Her accent possibly British, or maybe just so elegant that it felt European. It wasn't Southern, that's all I knew. She wasn't smiling, but maybe she wasn't supposed to smile. I kind of wished she were smiling. It would make it easier to ask her for a giant bacon sandwich. "Just coffee is fine," I said, and Mary poured me a cup and then returned to the kitchen. I wondered how many people were employed by Jasper Roberts. Was it 10? Or maybe 50? Or was it 100 or more? Any of these seemed believable. Just then, as if conjured by my curiosity, a man wearing suspenders and a big floppy hat walked across the backyard. He was holding a rake like a soldier marching with a rifle. "How many servants do you have?" I asked Madison, who stiffened. I couldn't tell if I was doing this on purpose, trying to make her feel bad about being so filthy rich.
"More than we probably need," she finally said. "But they're not servants, they're employees. It's like running a cruise ship, or something like that. It's just that a place this big has a lot of things that have to get done, and a lot of people who have specific abilities. But I know all their names. I can keep track of them."
"And now you have me," I said.
"You're not an employee," she said cheerfully. "You're my friend who is helping me out."
I drank the coffee, and it was really good. The taste so complex that it made me realize that I was going to have to get rid of my expectations of how things worked. I was used to break room coffee so thin that I had to dump a pound of sugar into it just to make it taste like something. The pizza we'd eaten the night before had been so fresh that I could taste the tomatoes in the sauce. The crust had been just slightly charred. I was finally, after 28 years, going to experience things the way they had been intended. No more knockoffs.